Hi, thank you. Can it come up? Good, thank you. So I'm Steve Yasko, and I've been on Moore's National Program Director for about a month now. I think it's a month, 31 days, I think, and I'm having a wonderful time. And I'm here today to talk a little bit about Pacifica and the new media environment and our program task force that that the board has asked us to take a look at. I'm working on it with some, let's see if I can get this down, it's a new mouse. There's three sections that I'd like to talk with all of us about today. And that's the changing media environment is sort of where I'd like to start. You know, there's so many things that are happening right now. Media has changed significantly in the last 5 years. Things that we didn't know were going to be here are here now. And, you know, we really don't know a lot about what tomorrow's going to bring, although we do know about one development in media called satellite radio that we're going to talk a little bit, that I'll talk a little bit about. Have an overview of the current Pacifica audience, both an overview of our local stations as well as our national programming. And then also talk about the structure that staff and administrative council and Bessie and I and everyone have been talking about for how to accomplish learning more about our audience and so that we can develop some programming strategies and perhaps some policies to lead us into the future. So there's the digital world here, and they're pretty much, when we talk about new media, there's four elements here that are probably the most significant right now. The internet, which I think we're all pretty familiar with, satellite radio, digital cable, and satellite TV. And the most, when it comes to, of those four, one we'll spend some time on is satellite radio. That's the logo for Sirius Satellite Radio, which is one of the two competing services that's happening right now. But I guess the first place to start when you talk about new media is that new media is always new. It's just what's ever new. And that cable TV in the 70s and 80s was sort of revolutionary. I remember when I was 13 years old and they were wiring my street for cable, and every day we would go outside and look to see if the cable was strung so that we could get MTV and HBO. I mean, we were just so excited that these things were coming. I guess at that time we really didn't know that people were really worrying about what was going to happen to TV viewership at that time. All I knew was I wanted my 56 channels. And even, I think one of the things that's really interesting is that, you know, the telegraph was new media when you think about the stagecoach and the transcontinental railroad, that the telegraph enabled instantaneous communication anywhere in the country to anywhere in the country that had a wire. And, you know, that was unique. You could go from New York to Los Angeles instantaneously instead of 5 days across a railroad to bring a piece of information. The thing about television right now is that the networks are still surviving, even though the audiences are down. One of the facts that I think is always kind of interesting is that the audience for Seinfeld, the biggest hit of recent television era, would have been canceled in the 1960s for low ratings. Because at the time, there was ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that was where a significant majority of the listening and viewing was done. But now it's just so fragmented. But it's still there. And I think one thing we want to focus a little bit on, because it's sort of what a lot of in public radio we're looking to in the eventuality of satellite radio, is how PBS responded to cable television. And they've really been forced to evolve, and we'll talk a little bit about that. They've really been forced to get out there and make some significant changes and decisions about who they are and how they're going to attract and retain their membership and who they serve. So these are sort of the brands of PBS. You know, these were the shows that built their network. These are the things that people did. And now in cable, we have all these lookalike networks. Poor Julia Child and Emeril, I'd certainly like to see them sit down on a panel discussion together and talk about the cooking or entertainment. I used to watch This Old House and all the how-to shows on Maryland Public Television and on WETA endlessly. That was my Saturday afternoon experience. And now, I don't want to go on too far. And now it's Design Time Saturday night on Home and Garden Television. A&E provides a significant programming service in different ways. And Nickelodeon, well, I don't really think it infringes much on the brand of Sesame Street and the educational nature of Sesame Street and the goals and missions.
it certainly gives kids another choice and parents another choice. But it's pretty, a couple of chimes here and there for when I thought there were things I really wanted to make a point. I hope you can hear them back there. I didn't have too much sound here. I think one of the things that's really sort of interesting about PBS, and I think we all sort of see this in radio, is that PBS, you know, there's the Peter, Paul, and Mary special. There's Live from Red Rocks. I mean, John Tesh has, you know, become, you know, the spokesperson for fundraising. Susie Orsman, Deepak Chopra. I mean, there's tons of these almost infomercial-like spectaculars to lure adults and remind them that PBS provides Barney, Sesame Street, Zoom, the reincarnation of Zoom, and these educational programmings that's really the basis of their mission. So they really sort of niche themselves by appealing as an educational network and a place, and their core values, I think, in a lot of ways, of early childhood education. But in order to get people to contribute to it and remind that they're members, they have to go out and use these spectaculars. And I think one of the things that I think is encouraging for public radio and for Pacifica is that we don't do that. We raise our listener support based upon the programs that we air every day. And for us, it's the value of the programming service that each of our stations provides to the community in which they serve that they contribute their money to. And I think that that's, you know, beyond remarkable. I think that is one of the most important things, and one of the things I think that really enticed me to come here to Pacifica, because there's a direct connection with the listener and a direct connection with making sure that the community is served by the programming that we have on the air. Just to touch briefly on something else that's going on, digital TV and direct TV, and just to show even how cable television has morphed. 10 years ago, we had 30 cable channels, and if you wanted satellite TV, it was pretty much relegated to people in rural areas where cable wire couldn't go, and you had this 25-foot dish, and which became sort of, you know, the talk of the neighborhood, and then ended up sort of just becoming a sort of a cultural icon of rural areas. Now, you can drive by condo developments, extremely dense urban condo developments, and see the 18-inch satellite dishes that are delivering 400 channels to people's houses. I had a first real experience with a friend who has one, and it's you can surf. You can sit there and surf for quite a while. You can fight over that remote. And the cost has come down. And I think that's one of the things to remember, too, when we talk about media, is that, computers, prices approach zero. The cost of a cell phone bill has gone down significantly. There's pricing always changes to move more people into using that kind of a communication service. But I want to talk about something that's going to be in your car this February, and I think that satellite radio, quite frankly, is one of the most important developments for radio and for Pacifica and for all of public radio. It's 100 channels on a crystal clear, and this is, I think, the most important part, commercial-free music and radio and news. And we know that if there's one thing that listeners don't like to hear on commercial radio is commercials. So there's a real choice here that's going to develop for people who don't want to have to listen to commercial announcements, which is a hallmark of public radio as well, Pacifica especially. It's the same service across the country. You'll be able to start a cross-country drive in the East Coast and listen to the exact same set of radio stations all the way through. So, you know, as you're driving between, here on the East Coast, if you drive from Washington to New York, you go through four sets of radio stations, always searching for your favorite program or for your favorite type of music or news and information programming in four different cities. Well, with this, you'll leave in Washington, and if there's a two-hour public affairs program on a satellite radio channel that you want to listen to, you'll hear that all the way through, and you'll never have to change the dial. The music channels are going to be widely arranged. There's reggae, blues. There's going to be multiple foreign language channels. And I think that what the point that I really want to drive home here is that it's media competition comes to the car. prior to right now, when you get in your car, you are limited to one media choice, and that's pretty much the FM dial. The AM dial is pretty secondary, but you pretty much have one choice, and that's, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 radio stations or 30 radio stations in Vince major markets. Now, everywhere in the country will have access to 100 choices plus their local stations. There's slight differences in the two services. Sirius is in New York. XM is right here in Washington. If you happen to find yourself at the intersections of New York and Florida, in what's become what's called the Washington Gateway now, you'll see their new building. On Sirius, they anticipate having 50 music channels and 50 news channels to start. Sirius has adopted a no commercials strategy. XM is going to have hosted channels. They actually plan on making them more like radio stations that people hear now. And the thinking behind that is one of the things that we do know. It's interesting because each one is highlighting a strategy that we both know are very important in public radio, which is people don't like commercials, which is why they come to public radio in Pacifica especially. But they also like the companionability of an announcer and the fact that they have a one-on-one relationship with the announcer. So while Sirius will look more like what many of us know as cable radio in our homes, where it's just CDs playing over and over on a wire that comes into our house, XM has decided to take the approach that having a DJ is something that people really want, even though they say they don't like hearing talk on what they're using. XM has also picked up C-SPAN, BBC, Blair, a few other shows, and I'll list a few of those more on the set. So what we really want to avoid in public radio is the public TV model, which was the PBS dismissed cable pretty much. They did not focus on it in the 70s. They could have been developing three or four other 24-hour cable channels, and they could have gotten in early and made sure that they had space on those systems. As we know now, cable companies have consolidated across the country to the point where, five or six major cable operators are lining up programming partnerships, and that sort of determines what everyone sees. So even though our choices are getting bigger, there are certain channels. I just got a notice from my cable company saying that I have to have the golf channel. And I'm just very excited about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of golf. But in order to get the food channel, the Food Network, which I actually do enjoy from time to time. Not Emerald. I like the one where they like give them the same ingredients, and in a half an hour they have to make a meal, and then 15 minutes into it they unveil the mystery ingredient, and they have to incorporate that into their dish on the fly. So we got the lookalike networks because PBS wasn't acting. NPR and PRI both have channels. We'll elaborate that in a moment. And it's not too late for Pacifica. Bessie and I have been talking about options and things that we can consider, and as those develop, we'll report back. The thing about satellite radio is it does cost money. It's going to be about $10 a month, and boy, doesn't that sound like a membership plea? $10 a month for all this stuff that we put out on our stations, and $10 a month for all the stuff that they're going to be putting out. So there's some interest. There's some things there that could affect our revenue. We know that people, one of the things as we go through this is that we know that the more people listen to a public radio station, the more they rely on the service that we provide, the greater public service and community service we are to that radio station, is as expressed by the amount of time they spend listening to that radio station, the more likely they are to contribute money. And so that's kind of profound, I think, for us to consider as we go forward as satellite radio develops. It's this February. Sirius has two satellites launched. One was in early September. One of them is, or August, I'm sorry, this one, the other one went up about 2 weeks ago. Their site is siriusradio.com, and I was going to hope to have a live internet connection there. I was trying to download their file. If you go there, they have a sample of what their programming will sound like, and you can watch the satellites being launched. I think one of the things that's XM over here, if you watched any of the news while we were gathering here, XM held their opening party. Their studios are officially open, and they were in Union Station on Wednesday night with Aretha Franklin hosting a large party, and so they're open for business now. And just as sort of a sidelight, too, one of the things that's happening here in Washington is that XM is hiring a tremendous amount of technical people, and so it's creating a lot of movement in engineers and other people who are in the technical end of our business are shifting over there. One of the things that I think is going to see, and this is sort of, I've said this, a bunch of people tell me I'm wrong, but somehow I just don't see it not happening. The receivers that receive this are going to be in the 2000 model year cars, the 2001 model year cars. They're starting now, so when you go get a rental car, you'll probably have this in a rental car in the middle of next year. The first year is going to be a little slow because when XM and Sirius decided to do this, they had sort of a VHS Betamax thing going on. You couldn't get XM on a Sirius receiver, and you couldn't get Sirius on an XM receiver. Starting in 2002, that's going to change. You'll be able to get either service on the same receiver. And it'll look pretty much like your car radio looks. It'll pretty much just be an additional button on the band changer between FM1, FM2, and AM. The other interesting thing about it is that it also has a little LCD screen that's going to go across the that'll scroll across on your dashboard. The purpose of that is more or less, I think, for a lot of ways, well, the direct purpose is to let you know what song is playing, who's playing it, what album it's on. As wireless internet becomes more available, you'll probably see a little buy button on your car radio that'll, you know, have the CD at your office by the time you get there after you hear the song. Or maybe it just downloads the song to the hard disk in your dashboard or something like that. But, you know, those are all things that I think that you can sort of dream about and wonder if people will actually use the technology that it allows, the way that it allows them to do it. I think one of the things that's going to happen with auto dealerships is that when you go to lease a car, you know, you see, you know, 500 cash back or 1.9 financing. Well, I think it might turn into 1.9 financing or 3 years of free satellite radio service. So I think the cost to the people, when people say, the reaction is, I'm not going to pay $10 a month for something I can get for free. And then of course that's the kind of thought pattern in public radio in Pacifica that we try to change. You know, we want people to give us $10 a month for something that they can get for free, and we do a good job of that. So I think we'll see some car dealerships taking lessons from the way we do business. But there are some differences in satellite TV and your broadcast channels. ABC, NBC, CBS are right in line. You have to scan past them to get to the other channels. But in satellite radio, you have to make a conscious decision in your car whether to listen to satellite radio or to listen to the FM band. So you can't just, you know, if you hit the scan button, it's just going to scan on the satellite. It's not going to go to the broadcast channels. I assume some receivers will do that, but I don't think that it's any. I think people are going to stay pretty much on one side or the other. But there's good news. It's only in cars. And XM, they're going to have some non-car receivers. They've been experimenting with boom boxes. And it's not their prime distribution. But one of the things that's really, I think, good for us to remember is that most of public radio listening takes place at home. And that's pretty important for us. So this service is only going to be when you get in your car. One thing on the technical side, a question I was thinking about that I should have put in here, is a lot of people have noticed that in dense areas, big cities, New York, San Francisco, that where you have buildings, that you don't always have a direct line of sight to the sky, and how does that, and that, won't that cause interference? And they're actually, one of the things that they're testing, and I believe they're testing it in parts of Manhattan, is that they're renting space on tall buildings with sort of translators, so it will... You know, if the beam's coming in this way and there's a building in the way, there'll be a little receiver there that will then take it and push it down to the street, move the signal over to keep line of sight. But this is sort of my mantra about it is that this is the first time we've had competition in the car. This is the first time people have a choice to listen to something other than to what they listen to in the car. So people are in their habits. We know the people who are their favorite radio station. We know that they're there because they've made the choice for us to be their favorite radio station. And now they're going to have a lot more choices to determine it and evaluate and see if other services are going to serve them better. if they're going to be more entertaining to listen to, more informative. You know, it's, we have our mission, and our mission is very important, and we need to make sure that we are serving that mission and serving it well and being as good a broadcast organization as we can be to make sure that people enjoy, and when I mean enjoy, that it's easy to listen to, that there aren't tune-out factors that make them leave and give them an opportunity to go explore these other radio choices. The one thing that we don't want people doing is ever turning their dial off of one of our stations and affiliates. I'll talk a little bit about what public radio is right now. NPR has two 24-hour channels. The NPR membership and management have decided that Morning Edition and All Things Considered will not be on those channels. The main channel, they're calling NPR Now, is aimed at a younger audience. What that means, I don't really think anyone really knows if younger means, you know, 2 years younger than what is listens to in the age range that listens to public radio now, or trying to get 18 to 24-year-olds to listen. The second channel is NPR Talks, and they're taking an interesting sort of strategy is that they're mixing some of their most signature programs, Talk of the Nation, The Diane Rehm Show, and adding local programs from around the country. Michael Krasny from San Francisco will be I don't know if they finalized it yet, but I think you can expect to hear the Michael Krasny Show on satellite radio across the country in February. PRI has one full-time channel for their own programming. They have other channels in the works. I think they actually hope to take a total of four channels. One of them is because they do represent the BBC, and the BBC will have a 24-hour radio channel in the United States in February. And they are supplying programs to both XM and Sirius. Here are some other folks and other information channels that you can expect to see, and arts channels. I don't know what the Kennedy Center is going to do. I assume they'll be supplying operas and shows and other live performances. So how fast and how many? Well, there's a lot of money backing this. There's 10 million, I think it's Garland and I were talking, I think it's $10 million, at least $10 million in each for XM and Sirius to get up and running. That's even before they start selling it. They anticipate that it's going to be young urban professionals in major markets that are going to pick this up first, people who commute in from, you know, who perhaps live in northern Jersey and commute into Manhattan. Although I guess even in Manhattan, not many real people really do that by car. And rural listeners, they anticipate that people out in the middle of the country who only have, you know, 5 to 7 radio choices in their car now are going to hunger for 100 channels and be willing to invest in this to get the additional services. As I said, I think you see it in rental and leased cars pretty quickly. It'll be an incentive to pick it up. They anticipate having 10 million subscribers in 3 years. And while you won't see it in the Christmas circulars, you'll start seeing arrangements with, well, they've already have arrangements with Best Buy and Circuit City for aftermarket installation into cars. So it's going to happen. It's been happening pretty fast. But the one we're more familiar with is the internet. And that's already had some effect on radio listening. And we operate in some of the most wired cities in the country. I think we probably know that. San Francisco and Washington have the highest PC ownership. But when we talk about internet access at home or work, I think this is interesting. This was October of 99. And it's only grown since then. Washington, 60% of the residents of Washington, of the Washington metropolitan area, have internet access, either at home, work, or school. San Francisco, a close second, and on down. Interesting, I think it's just that New York, because it's such a large market, and so many people are under it, I think that and sort of the infrastructure of the city and also the social stratas and things like that probably alter the fact that the number one market in terms of size doesn't have as high a penetration. But what I think that, you know, the thing we really just have to keep in mind is that there's increased competition for people's attention. That every minute of every day, people are being tempted to pursue other media choices. And that those people who listen to our radio stations are going to have those same choices available to them. And that, I think, is probably the thing that really, when I saw this, I think that's really the thing that started to kick a lot of radio organizations in the butt about getting their websites up to snuff and learning how to incorporate their radio experience onto the web, and also how to use the website to support the radio station, how to support the radio stations and the programming. 45 minutes. If you have Internet Act in 1998, this is 2 years old, 2 year old data, and I've kept looking for a new figure, and I'm afraid it's probably, the reason I couldn't find one is it's probably longer than 45 minutes now. But people who have internet access and use the web listen to radio 45 minutes a day less. So again, the implication is if our listeners are using radio and probably and maybe perhaps listening to us 45 minutes less per week, that has significant effects on what could be in their time spent listening, affects their decision to contribute to a radio station.